Often before I have gone through more subtle reasons and have come upon questionings greater than a woman should strive to search out. But we too have a goddess to help us and accompany us into wisdom.
Not all of us.
This I say, that those who have never had children, who know nothing of it, in happiness have the advantage.
Childless, who never discover whether children bring pleasure or pain, are spared many troubles.
And those who have in their homes the sweet presence of children, their lives are wasted away by their worries.
And then, after all that,
so wills it.
Death will away with your children's bodies and carry them off into Hades.
What is our profit, then, that for the sake of children, the gods should pile upon mortals, after all else, this most terrible grief?
Medea! You who have done this dreadful thing! Run for your life. Take what you can. A ship to bear you hence, or a chariot.
And what is the reason for flight?
She is dead. The royal princess. And Creon dead too, by your poisons.
How did they die?
When those two children born of you had entered in, their father with them, and passed into the bride's house, we were pleased, we slaves who were distressed by your wrongs. All through the house we were talking of but one thing, how you and your husband had made up your quarrel. Some kissed the children's hands and some their yellow hair. I myself was so full of joy that I followed the children into the women's quarters. Our mistress, whom we honored instead of you, before she noticed that your two children were there, was keeping her eye fixed eagerly on Jason. Then she covered up her eyes, her cheek paled, and she turned herself away from him, angry at the children's coming there. But your husband tried to end the girl's bad temper and said, you must not look unkindly on your friends. Cease to be angry. Turn your head to me again. Have as your friends the same ones as your husband has, and take these gifts and beg your father to reprieve these children from their exile. Do it for my sake. She, when she saw the robe, could not restrain herself. She agreed with all her husband said. And before he and the children had gone far from the palace, she took the robe and dressed herself in it and put the golden crown around her curly locks and arranged her hair in a shining mirror and smiled at the image of herself in it. Then she rose from her chair and walked about the room with her gleaming feet, stepping soft and delicate, overjoyed with the gifts. Then it was a fearful thing to see. The color of her face changed, and she staggered back. An aged woman servant thought this was some seizure of Pan or some other god, and cried out, God bless us! But that was before she saw the white foam breaking through her lips, and the rolling pupils of her eyes, and her face all bloodless. Then she raised a different cry from God bless us, a huge shriek, and the women ran, one to the king and one to the newly wedded husband, and she, poor girl, with a terrible groan came to herself, for a twofold pain was moving up against her. The wreath of gold that was resting around her head let forth a stream of all-devouring fire, and the finely woven robe your children gave to her was fastening on her flesh. She leapt up from the chair, and all on fire she ran, shaking her hair now this way and now that, trying to hurl the diadem away. But fixedly the gold preserved its grip, and when she shook her hair, then more and twice as fiercely the fire blazed out, till beaten by her fate she fell down to the ground, hardly to be recognized. Neither the setting of her eyes was plain to see, nor the shape of her face. From the top of her head there oozed out blood and fire mixed together, like the drops on pine bark, and the flesh from her bones had dropped away, torn by the fang of the poison. Terror held us all from touching the corpse. We had learned from what had happened, but her wretched father, knowing nothing, came suddenly to the house and fell upon the corpse, and at once cried out and folded his arms about her and kissed her and spoke to her, saying, "Oh, my poor child, what heavenly power has so destroyed you? Who has set me here like an ancient sepulchre deprived of you? Oh, let me die with you, my child." And when he had made an end of his wailing, the old man wished to raise himself. But as the ivy clings to the twigs of the laurel, he is stuck to the fine rope. And he struggled fearfully, trying to lift himself to his knee. But she was pulling him down. And when he tugged hard, he ripped his aged flesh from his bones until his life was quenched. There they lie close, the daughter and the father. Dead bodies!
For the words you have spoken, now and hereafter, I shall count you among my benefactors.
Heaven on this day has fastened many evils on Jason.
And Jason has deserved them.
Poor girl, the daughter of Creon. How I pity you. You who have gone to the house of Hades.
Women, my task is fixed. To kill my children and leave this land. And not suffer them to be slain by another hand less kindly to them. Force every way now will have it. They must die. And since this must be so, I, their mother, shall kill them. Oh, arm yourself in steel, my heart. Come, my hand, and take the sword. Take it. Step forward to this bitter starting point. Do not be a coward. Do not think. Do not think of them. Do not remember now that you are their mother.
O Earth, and the far shining ray of the sun, look down upon this poor lost woman. Look before she raises the hand of murder against her flesh and blood. Yours was the golden birth from which she sprang, and now I fear divine blood may be shed by men.
Oh, heavenly light, hold back her hand.
Check her.
Drive from out the house the bloody fury raised by fiends of hell.
Vain waste your care of children.
Was it in vain you bore the babes you loved after you passed between the dark blue rocks?
Oh, wretched one, how has it come? This heavy anger on your heart.
This cruel, bloody mind.
God asks a stern price for the stain of kindred blood.
Do you hear the cry? Do you hear the children's cry?
Oh, you hard heart!
Our woman fated for evil.
Shall I enter the house?
Surely I shall defend the children from murder.
Oh, your heart must have been made of rock or steel.
You who could kill with your own hand womb.
Of one alone I have heard. One woman alone of those of old who laid her hands on her children. I know, sent mad by heaven, when the wife of Zeus drove her out from her home and made her wander.
Because of the wicked shedding of blood of her children, she threw herself, poor wretch, into the sea and stepped away over the sea cliff to die with them.
What horror more can be?
Oh, so full of trouble. How many evils have you caused already?
You, women, standing close in front of this dwelling, is she, Medea, she who did this dreadful deed, still in the house? Or has she run away in flight? She will have to hide herself beneath the earth, or raise herself on wings into the height of air, if she wishes to escape the royal vengeance. Does she imagine that having killed our rulers, she will escape uninjured from this house? Her, the king's friends will make to suffer for what she did. I have come to save the lives of my boys, should the royal house harm them while taking vengeance on their mother.
Oh, Jason, if you knew how deeply you are plunged in sorrow, you would not have spoken so.
What is it? Would she kill me also?
Your children are dead. By their own mother's hand.
What? Oh, woman. You have destroyed me.
Your children are no more.
Where? Where are they?
Open the gate.
There you will see them.
Murdered.
Unlock the doors! Undo the fastenings! Let me see this! And let me see her! Oh, her I will repay!
Why do you batter at these gates, seeking the corpses and me who did the deed? You may cease your trouble. You will never touch me with your hand. This chariot has Helios, the son, my father's father, given me to defend me from my enemies.
You hateful thing! You woman most utterly loathed by the gods, and me and by all the race of mankind! You who have had the heart to raise a sword against your children! You, their mother! You have done this! And do you still look at the sun and at the earth? I wish you dead! Now I see it plain that when I took you from your foreign home and brought you to a Greek house, you, an evil thing, a traitress to your father and your native land, the gods hurled the avenging curse of yours on me. All those whom I passed over chose you to marry instead. A monster, not a woman. No. Not if I had 10,000 words of shame could I sting you. Go, work pain with your children's blood. The boys I begot and brought up, whom I never shall speak to alive.
It was not to be that you should scorn my love and pleasantly live your life through laughing at me. Nor would the princess, nor he who offered the match, Creon, drive me away without pain.
You feel the pain yourself. You share in my sorrow.
Yes, and my grief is my gain.
And for the sake of that, you chose to kill them?
Is love so small a pain?
You are wholly evil.
Are dead. I say
the children will bring down curses on you.
The gods know who was the author of this song.
The gods know your loathsome heart. May your fury for the children's sake destroy you. And justice, requiter of blood.
What heavenly power lends an ear to a breaker of oaths, a deceiver?
Give me the bodies to bury and to mourn them.
No, I will not. Go to your palace. Bury your bride.
Let me. I beg you. Touch my boy's delicate flesh.
Children are mine.
Oh, gods! Do you hear her? Do you hear her, these murdering tigress, covered with my children's blood, denies me even this. As long as I have breath in my body and the strength to stand and raise my hands to heaven, I shall call upon the gods to bear me witness how you, when I begged you, pleading from my heart to let me touch my sons' bodies and to give them burial. How you were a woman of stone.
I will bury them myself. Bearing them to Hera's temple on the promontory, so that no enemy may evilly treat them by tearing up their grave. In this land of Corinth, I shall establish a holy feast and sacrifice each year to atone for the blood guilt. And I myself go to the land of Erechtheus to dwell in Aegir's house, the son of Pandion. While you, alone, will die in desolation, your head crushed by a beam of the rotting Argo's timber. And you will have seen the bitter end of my life.
Zeus in Olympus is the overseer of many doings.
Many things the gods achieve beyond our judgment.
What we thought is not confirmed, and what we thought not, God contrives.
And so it happens in the